This meeting is being recorded.
Well, let's see. I feel like romper room. I see Eleanor and Michelle and Valerie and Susan. Hello. I'm assuming Dr. Rita Marie will be here soon. I know she had an interview right before this, so she'll be on, I'm sure, as soon as that's done. But how did your I'll unmute. Can I unmute everybody? Unmute all. You can choose to mute yourself if you want to, but how did your summit go, Michelle?
It went well. We had about 450 registered people.
Wow, nice.
And yeah, I think the biggest challenge with it is the fact that a lot of emails get filtered out with spam.
Oh.
And I was talking to Maria. She said that she has the same problem with her emails. So I'm not really sure how one deals with something like that. You know, it is what it is.
So, Well, mine went right to my,
Well, I think that's because I've been communicating with you previously.
Oh,
so,
that makes sense.
You know, I'm kind of like in your contact list, but for, newbies,
yeah, especially if they're coming from somebody else's. Yeah.
So that was one of the big things. I think I remember I went and I helped Maria out last weekend, and what she said is that when she was getting signups, what she does is actually have people put down their phone numbers, because a lot of times it'll bounce in the filter, and when she realizes that, she will call up the person to follow up. And,
that's a good idea.
You know, but the thing is, with something like a summit, you don't have that luxury. And if you put into the field asking people for their phone numbers, a lot of people will just not.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like you're caught in a darned if you do, darned if you don't kind of scenario. And
what are we discussing? You know, is something with the phone?
So I think a lot of people.
Is anybody hearing me?
Yep.
Lynn asked me how the summit went, and I said one of my challenges was that the spam filters gobble up a lot of the emails. I mean, some people actually emailed me and said, "Hey, I never got anything." And I was like, "Yeah, but it was sent, I sent out like 5 different emails." And then when I told them to look in their spam filter, they're like, "Oh, there it is." But you know, the majority of people aren't going to do that. So I think maybe on the thank you page,
right? It's hard. We find that too. The open rates have plummeted over the years, and the spam filters. Yeah. I find my own messages sometimes in my spam, like from me. Excuse me. It doesn't make sense. So you know, I think for that, I'm going to start to do that on that thank you page when they first sign up. I think I'm going to start to add that. Hey, you know,
I had that on there.
You did?
Ugh. Yeah, because after I saw that happening, then I changed the page and I said, please be sure to check your spam filter if you do not get an email within 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And before I did that, it was like a 40% open rate. And then after I did that, it was like a 55% open rate.
Okay, so it made a difference, but not
100%. So it increased, but not.
Yeah, not where you want it to be.
Yeah, because most people don't read the fine print, you know, and that kind of stuff. You know, they just kind of register and assume that it's just going to come, you know, day before or something
right?
like that.
Big letters in bright red. Well, Tim is saying, I know it's ugly and I know it feels intrusive and I try to make these nice pages, but like big red warning, you know, spam filters have been stealing our emails. Check your spam filter if you don't hear from. Make it cute. Make it funny. You know, and make it light.
Yeah, make it funny. Yeah.
Yeah, but warning. Warning. Will Robinson.
Spam monster gobbled my
spam
my
monster has been gobbling our emails. They must be yummy and delicious.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Please check your spam ASAP because valid information. What's that?
Or what one person said, yeah, the spam conspiracy. They don't want the information to get out. So the government is taking our emails.
That's right. They looked at the chat. They looked at the subject line and said, you ain't getting that. Yeah. Yeah. So make it light and funny, but you know, cause it's happening all the time. The other thing I do on that where they land, a lot of people with the summits, they just do that and they go check your email, but I always put the information there. And then say, bookmark this page right now. Though that's another way to do it, right? Because if you give them the information, here's where you're going to go, here's the number, whatever. That's another way to do it. And you mentioned about the phone number, and I wanted to interject there because I didn't hear the beginning part of it. So you're looking for a cell phone number. Make it optional.
Well, what Maria does when I went to help her out at the PCOS conference, she actually encourages people.
Oops.
And I was surprised, you know, but that was with personal contact. So everyone gave her.
Everyone
phone
did
number.
It, right.
But if it's done with something. If it's in a summit context, it's no one knows you. And so I think that would be a turnoff for people.
Well, here's how Joshua Robbins recommended it. He did it for his summit and he said it really improved his show up rates and everything. So he had it, name and email address. And then I think when they clicked the button. It was either when they clicked the button. I'll have to ask him if it was either when they clicked the button or it said, it was a button that said, do you want text? Click here if
messages.
You want a text message.
Reminders.
Right. And then it opened up the box, pre-filled the other, and then they clicked it. And he said it was amazing how well that worked. So that there's a way to do it. I can't remember exactly how he did it, but he'll share. I took notes when he was talking. He spoke at Mindshare.
But I think that we're just seeing people being overloaded. And so it's just like in the olden days, we used to get junk mail and we don't even look at it anymore. We just throw it in the trash.
No, I just throw everything in the trash.
So it's the same thing now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And there's not a lot to do with it. And the text can make a difference on that. You know, because they people still do read their texts pretty much all the time, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Until
that starts getting a spam filter.
Until that starts, people are spamming. I have had people spam me on there. There is another way that I just thought of is you can upload a custom audience. This will cost a little bit, but you can maybe not as much as text messages, though. You can actually upload your audience as a custom audience on Facebook. And then you can make an ad that just goes to that custom audience. So if you have like 500 people signed up for a summit, you're going to upload that list of 500 to Facebook. And you're going to go in and
create. Is that the chat box thing?
No, you have to look at the ads manager.
Okay.
Ads manager. Because it's a whole, you're actually setting up a Facebook ad, but you're only showing it to these 500 people. And in the, so it costs very little. Costs very little. And so when they get there, it says, hey, just a reminder, we're starting in 2 hours. Make sure you join us.
Okay.
And that increases engagement too. Mm. There's all these little
And you can do that through people's email addresses?
Yes. You just take the email addresses, you put them up there. Obviously, not everybody's going to be on Facebook. So, you know, so you're going to miss some of them. But Facebook knows how to match up the email addresses with. I mean, they're sneaky. I don't know how they get all the information they do. They'll tell you who their firstborn child is. And it's
but
scary.
But it's interesting because I started looking at which videos were viewed the most.
Yeah.
And the top video, I have to email him, the top video was Jeff Golitz from the Heart Math Institute.
Oh, cool.
So I figured what I'm going to do is put together a package because I'm a certified Heart Math coach, to actually put together a package and put that out there, since it seems like that's what the majority of people were interested in if we looked at the videos.
Wow. What's his last name?
I thought that was rather interesting. Goelitz, G-O-E-L-I-T-Z. He's the educational director of the HeartMath Institute.
Okay. Yeah. Because I've been thinking I want to get them engaged, like as a sponsor for Shine and, you know, sponsor for whatever. And I just, I lost my contact.
And he's phenomenal. He's phenomenal.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. That's good to know.
I really love working with Jeff.
Great. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yeah. So how did it go overall? I mean, how did you get many packages sold? And
I didn't get any packages sold. I mean, well, we got some people who signed up for the VIP access for the summit itself. But in terms of my particular package, we didn't get any of that sold.
Well, that's kind of what I meant, the VIP for the summit.
Yeah, so we got some of those. I think we got about 15. So it's a start.
So we need to. I'm gonna pull out.
I'm not sure. How do you?
Go ahead. Sorry. You know, there's a delay. Usually, there's not a delay on Zoom, but there's a delay, and I'm like not noticing that you're like. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So my question is, how does one repurpose something like a summit?
There's a lot of ways to do that, right? So you basically, you have the package, right? And you can just make that, you know, so say they have a freebie on your website, right? And the next page they come to, you can use it as an upsell on that page. Hey, you might have missed it, but if you're interested in this, you have to make it a freebie that's connected, right, to child's health or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you're interested in this, and you might be interested, 40 experts got together. We did this. We did that. You take get some testimonials from people that said, oh my God, Michelle, mm-hmm. thank you so much. This is the best. And you lay that out and you say, hey, we have this available as a package. Or you can pick the best of. That's what Ocean does. They'll pick, I forget what they call it, but they just pick the best of. So they'll maybe take 10 or 12 of the most popular. And then they package that as a low cost, or you can sell the whole thing. And they call it the empowerment pack when they sell all of the interviews, all of the transcripts, and all of the bonuses that those people gave. And they sell them for a fair amount. I think they sell them for like $197. But, you know, that's the kind of thing the best of. Like, because some of them may have been okay, yeah, but they weren't really like super popular. So you pick your 10 most, 12 most popular, and you can sell it as a little packet for $37 or something, $27. Something that you think people.
Well, the VIP pass itself is only $47. So it's not like it's that pricey.
Yeah, no, it's not. And you kept it that way? Mm-hmm. Well, you know. So what I can share this, and I have notes from the summit that where he spoke, but he just like behind the curtains on his entire launch, comparing it from last year to this year and all the things he measured. I mean, they made over $2 million on their summit.
Wow.
Over $2 million.
Wow. Oh my God.
Right. And they've been doing it for 5 or 6 years, but every year it gets more. Wow. And he goes, they've been kind of steady where it just went up a little bit. I think they hit the $1 million mark 2 years ago. And then last year it just went pretty much the same, maybe a tiny bit higher. And this year it almost doubled. And he shared all the things he did differently for that.
Right? Wow.
And it had to do with even the layout of the opt-in page and the layout of the thank you page where they had an immediate upsell to the package, the layout, they did different colors and the side by side or right below, like with the buy buttons next to the video didn't convert as well as when they moved them down below, even though he thought it would be better that way, but it was below the fold because people, when they saw that, my impression was when they saw the buy buttons there, they're like, oh, this video is just trying to sell me something. They skipped it. Whereas with the buy buttons down below the fold, they saw, hey, this is Ocean Robbins, and I'm so glad you're here, and we're going to save the world together. And blah, 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 blah. And at the end, he says, look, while you're here, you know, we're only going to be offering you this once. It's $67. That's it. After, you know, when you go to the regular page, it's going to be $97 and or whatever it was. And he said, you know, just click the link below and get it. He said that, like, bumped them up tremendously. Just lots of little stuff like that that I'm not remembering, but I took copious notes, and I might have even hit the record button on my iPad you know, because I sometimes do that. I'll be in a session, I just hit the record button in Evernote. So I may have something like that. But a lot of the stuff he taught, even if you're not doing the summit, are things that we could use in our day to day as we create our little funnels. And here's my freebie, and, you know, sign up next for my $27 15-minute consultation, and I'll hone in and give you two things that you can do right away, or whatever it is that you're upping to. You can use the methods that he did. And even the colors, they went from various colors, and it was orange and purple were the, like, by far better converting than green and purple, or green and orange. Like, you know, and it makes their specific audience, but we have similar audiences. So it's like, it's so many little details. And I'm like, I want the people on your team that can measure all this stuff. Like,
exactly.
Knowing what to measure, and then actually having the time to measure all this. So it was an invaluable presentation that he did. Yeah.
And what I realized also is that I spent a lot of money going into a program to learn how to do summits. And in retrospect, if I had known, I would have spent the money on getting the tech savvy people to take care of the stuff,
take care of the
technology sides of it, you know, from creating the landing page to all the funnels and all of that stuff, because I think I have phenomenal content, but where there's a gap is that I didn't have all of the technology savvy woo-woo, and like you, when you did the copy, I was like, holy crap, your copy is like phenomenal. But you know, I had to go through the program to find out these things, and I had to go to the program to find a connect person. So if anyone else is interested in doing summits, I have a phenomenal technology person who, if I had known before all of this, I would have just given her the money
and let her
do all of that stuff. Yeah. And then I just do the interviews.
That's all you should be doing. Yeah.
Yeah. But I had to do everything from beginning.
Now you know, honey, you learned, so, right?
Yeah, but I learned what I don't know, and I learned what I'm not good at. And instead of spending the money trying to be good at something, just pay somebody who's good at it, who can do it in 5 seconds when it takes me 5 days to do something, and it's even half baked compared to what that person can do in five minutes.
That's right.
So that's my suggestion to everyone. If you're considering doing anything like this, you know, you can contact me, and I can connect you with that person so that you can focus on what you really want to do, which is the content, as opposed to the process. Cause that just, it drained me. I was wiped out.
I was shocked that you looked and sounded as good as you did right before. I'm like, she have some secret that nobody else has? Cause anytime I talk to somebody right before a summit, and if I was me, I'm like, oh yeah, it's like, was she like on Valium or something?
No, I was fine. It was just that I guess the other part of it was that the content that people gave was so phenomenal. And I felt like I didn't put it in a snazzy enough vehicle for it to reach as many people as it could. So I feel like I let my participants down, you know?
So, okay. Not too late, right? Not too late. So you've got this tech savvy person. Right? You get them. What's the best way to package and show this to be able to now sell it? Hey, the summit's over, and I know that a lot of you missed the interviews, and these were phenomenal, and you can even give little snippets of what this one was like the most popular, and this one was this, and you can just give little like information about it. You can do that in a video. You can do it in text. And we're just, you know, we've reopened the special from the summit. It's $47. And do they get transcripts, or just the, probably not at that price?
No transcripts. No. Cause you know, that costs more money.
Oh.
Like I said, I basically went out of my bank to do it, or my non-existent bank, but we won't talk about that. And so that's the challenge now, that there's no, there's no funding to do the follow-up to try and, you know, push it into repurposing like we're saying.
So yeah, then don't repurpose.
500 people on our list.
Keep it as is for now, right? Future-wise, you can decide you're going to do the best of, but make a limited time, offer the recordings to everybody who joined, but also anybody else on your list that didn't. Let all the speakers know that this is available, and if they want to promote it, here's your link. And then you can, later, you know, you can see how that goes. Later, you can maybe invest in getting 10 transcripts done, like the best of, and offer a package that wouldn't be lower, right? It would still be, but you'd have the transcripts or the transcripts package as a book. I loved when I got that from the iThrive people, and I usually don't order the print versions, but if you order one for yourself, you can order one to give away to someone. And I went like, oh, I really want that physical. I'll give it as a Christmas present. And when it came, it was like all the transcripts are in this beautiful book with a pretty cover, which doesn't take much to do, right? A pretty cover is nothing. And it was like, it really felt special. So that's future wise. But for now, since it won't cost you anything, I would just send some emails. Just use your own, you know, connect with them. Connect with them from your heart, though. Let them feel you. Let them feel how much gratitude you have to all the people who participated, how much hope it's given you for the future of medicine and the future of our children. And just really connect with that piece and say, hey, for many of you missed it, many of you may have missed a lot of the interviews, I've opened up the package again for $47 and go for it. Series
and
of at
what
least
was ironic, and to share with you guys, it was really funny because I thought the more techie and sciencey interviews would be what people would go for, but interestingly enough, it was the videos on my heart and soul days that went the most, and even when I did Q&As, people wanted to talk more about the heart and soul. We even got into things like dreams and interpreting dreams, our children's dreams. I was like, holy crap, you know, and I thought they would be asking me more questions about, say, the genetics and the lab tests. And no, it was very, very interesting in that respect.
Cool. That's where the biggest holes are. Like, look around, right? People are scared. They're safe. You know, all those feelings that we all want, right? And people are forgetting about because everybody's fighting this way and there's the sexual discrimination and racial discrimination and religion. And it's just, it's horrible. And nobody feels safe or secure or able to access their joy. And this is why kids are getting sick, right? And especially young kids who have more of that empathy, they're empaths and they're picking up the energy of it. Like, these kids are getting sick. And so, That's a great thing to know. And another way to package is just to make packages of each of the days, each of the segments. Our most popular segment was the heart and soul. So we decided to make these interviews available to you again. You know, and because I want this really out there, you make it a $10 thing, right? You just take those interviews and just see how it goes. That way you can see what people are going after. And then you can always say, I'll sell them into the whole back, right? Once they've gotten that, you can have a series of emails that says, hey, and you, if you missed this, the scientific ones were this, and feature them. And so there's a lot of ways you can repackage this, and it'll take you, your effort, because it's not a technology thing. It's just you connecting from the heart, and you've got to write those emails because you don't want to be salesy in them, but you want to be persuasive. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's taken me a long time because before I'd be like, oh, mousy, I don't want to be salesy. I don't want to be salesy. But then realizing, like, when I'm so passionate about something, I can sell so easily without being salesy. Right. And so you have to stay connected here because your heart is what's driving you on this. And sometimes, and this I've noticed myself too, you take this class and you take that class and you learn how to say it this way and learn what to do on a webinar. And it's like, and when I throw that out the window, we did that in the summer when I did that keto, whatever it was thing, and we sold 250 people in the first night. It was because I didn't follow that rule. I just said, and look, we have this thing coming up and I'd love, you know, we used to do this live and it left out so many people and I feel bad from the heart. So I decided to make this something that everybody can afford and that I want to, it's my gift to you. We made $25,000 on me giving them a special gift. Just saying, right? Whereas other times.
What's the best way to do transcripts?
Rev.com. They're expensive, but they're good. Rev.com. A dollar a minute. So they're expensive. Ooh. Yeah. There are other ways, but it would require a lot of editing. They have something called Temi.com. It's like 10 cents a minute, but it's computer generated. And so then you have to spend an hour or two on each transcript fixing it. So it's great. Yeah. So it's not really, it's great if you don't want it a word by word, you just want to capture the essence of what you said and then write blog posts from it. Temi is the way to go. That's what I would do. Mm-hmm. Temi. Cause then I capture all my words and I can just rearrange it on paper and, you know, but if you really want to give them a true transcript, really good. We've done it before. There's other people we've had individuals do it, but over the years, Lynn, what would you say the track record was? It was really, we had some really nasty sounding transcripts. We spent more money having them edited.
Yeah.
So it's expensive. So to offer that, like Ocean, of course, offers that because he's selling $2 million worth of summit packages. Yeah. So you can afford to, right?
Drop in the bucket.
We do transcripts for all of our educational pieces, but we don't do transcripts for these kind of calls because these kind of calls go all over the place. And, you know, and again, they sometimes go 3 hours and I don't want to spend an extra $180 every time I do a call. It's like we'd have to up the price of the program to support that. So, but we do it on all content stuff. And some of the ACRs we do it on too, like Jeffrey Bland. It's like you can listen to him 4 or 5 times and miss most of it because he's just like so packed. So we pick some of those out. Some of the ACRs are pretty light and easy, and you can just get it by listening and taking a few notes. With his, you have to listen to it 5 times and take notes really rapidly to get everything you need. So we choose to do that. But yeah, it's expensive. That's the biggest problem with it.
Okay. One more question, if I can. Sure. I have one of my ERC people. She was asking me about muscle testing, and this poor child, bless her soul, she's muscle testing every day. And I said, look, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. I said, muscle testing, as far as I'm concerned, is when you have to say choose between brands or choose maybe, a specific strain that you can't figure out something otherwise. But if you know from your genetic testing that you need vitamin D, that you need XYZ probiotic, and you know from your blood testing that you're low on iron, whatever it is, it does not make sense to muscle test every day because you need to be consistent in your application of the supplementation in order to combat that. And I said, muscle testing is based on the most fluid part of your being, which is the energetic field, that it shifts every 50 seconds, you know, it's constantly shifting. So you can muscle test now and muscle test 5 minutes from now and get something completely different. And that's just going to drive you crazy when you already know that you have a deep seated issue that needs to be resolved.
So I partially agree with that. I totally partially, because I think it can drive people crazy. And I know it does change from point to point. And sometimes I'll ask people to muscle test every day for a series of several days, several times a day, so they get a sense of, oh, well, it seems like I always need vitamin C in the morning, but never at night. Or I, you know, to see if there are some general patterns. And then maybe recheck once every week or two, because they're not going to go back in to get the lab test done more than once every 3 months because of the cost, right? So I recommend that, because you don't want them to overdo. Like, So for me, I almost never take my supplements, and I should actually do it because I got in the habit of, I pull out my thing. I have most of them are liposomal or whatever. They're in the fridge. I take out my little thing and I just go boom, 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 boom. Take the ones that my body says yes to. Don't take the ones that my body says no to. And I had gotten in the habit of doing that every day, and it literally takes a few minutes. But then I was like, I don't have time. I don't have time for that. So then I wouldn't take them. Mm. Right. So it's, if you've already established via lab testing that there's a severe deficiency in this, it's going to take.
She was talking about a genetic predisposition. She had a genetic predisposition. I was like, if it's genetic, your genetics are not going to change over a 24-hour period.
But I have MTHFRs and I have MTRRs. So my B12 and my folate, and I eat like 2 quarts of this stuff every day. So my folate, do I really need to be taking folate, right? So I'll test those things, like if I've been away and I haven't been drinking my 2 quarts a day of blended green, you know, goodness, then I'll test that folate, and every now and then the folate shows up. So I take it. With the B12, I have the FUT2, which counters the MTRR. With FUT2, you have more of a chance of higher levels, keeping your levels of B12 higher, but as opposed to MTRR, you need more. So I periodically check, and it's the same sort of thing. It's every week or two, I would need the B12. So I did it every day just to see patterns. And I knew that there were certain things I just always needed. Magnesium, always need it. No matter how much green leafy stuff, I always need magnesium. So I got in that. So it gives you good information, but for people who are already overwhelmed, I mean, this is me, Miss Scientific, trying to, you know.
Yeah.
Make everything
you know how
work,
to track
right?
it and interpret
yeah.
it. And,
yeah. And you know what to do with the information, but for somebody to be doing that every day, day after day, it gets to be old and tedious and cumbersome. But ask her, in doing that, have you tracked to see if there are patterns? Like, oh, I always need... it seems like every day I need vitamin C, but every 3 days I need D. Well, maybe that's all she really needs of D, even if she was low, because, you know, at first maybe she needed it every day and now she needs it every 3 because the levels are coming up. So you see what I'm saying? So it's, there's no black and white answer to it.
Yeah.
And it's feeling into
So the key
person.
There is the tracking and to look for the patterns as opposed patterns. To, oh, let me just do it and forget about it, because then you don't see what's what, and it's just some, you know,
right.
amorphous blob of, you know, whatever.
Right. And what
well,
time
I was,
of day?
Well, yeah. Cause I was just concerned because she's been in the program for a long time and she's not getting the results that she's looking for. And I said, part
Karen.
Of that may be because you're not being consistent. Yes.
Yeah. Karen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Karen. Yeah. Yeah, she's a different story because a big piece of her problem is all the GAD. She's, you know, she's got this anxiety. She's anxiety prone.
Yeah.
Right.
And you jump from jump and jump and jump and jump.
Exactly. She does need some consistency. And when we looked at her genes, and we only looked at her genes recently. That was back in June or July or something. And I spent I spent an hour and a half with her privately as an extra add-on. She was just so stressed out about not being able to come to calls and this and that. So I said, look, just come and I'll give you a consultation. And it was great. It was super great. But big part of why she isn't getting the results is the energetic and emotional. And that might be something you can help her bring down off, you know?
Yeah.
Just really.
Actually, I had her do the Enneagram. Yeah, I had her do the Enneagram, and so we're looking at approaching it from more of that kind of divine purpose kind of thing. And interestingly, in the Enneagram, her tendency from the Enneagram is to be jump, 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 jump. And so we're going to start looking at that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good. Yeah, good. Yeah, good. Good luck. I think she's in good hands with you as on her team because – of that, right? She needs more grounding and connection, right? And she's very interesting because she will, on paper and in email, she may sound like she's mad at you and she's complaining and bitching and all this stuff. Okay. And if she, and make sure that you read her journals and comment back. But when you come to the call, reflect back the objections right from the start. Don't let her get into it. Because I found that if she gets into it, she just gets deeper and deeper. But if you go, hey, I read your journal and you were really concerned that that form didn't work for you. And I'm real, you know, and you address it right up front.
Yeah, that's what I did with her. And she was like, oh, thank you so much for addressing my concerns. I was like, oh, no problem.
Yeah, she's quite interesting. I knew right away.
She is.
All right. So questions, comments. We have a small group today. Who else is on here that I'm not seeing? I see Eleanor and Kim. There's Michelle and Eva and Isabel. So we were just talking to Michelle a lot about the summit as people were coming on, but I see a lot of people. So hands up, Janine. Hi.
Hi. How do you hands up?
Hands up? I don't see hands up.
How do you do that?
Oh, how do you do it? I don't know. So you just open your line and talk. And if you have a thing, just put your camera on. Because I really like to see people when we're talking, if you can.
But I'm sharing.
There is a raised hand.
The participant.
There is
a raised hand.
If you click on...
Under participant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Click participants. And underneath it, you should see a raise. You should see, right? If you go to your name, you should see... Yeah, lower hand. Oh, there, she has her hand up. Yay. Okay, so you're unmuted. Go for it, Eleanor.
Okay, I have a couple questions. First, I want to start with some questions from the seminar yesterday, Alan Hopkins.
Yeah.
Just to understand, so he is a different way than Direct Labs to order labs. He just has a different lab. Okay.
He uses the same lab. It's Quest Lab. He has his arrangements, and he's priced it so that for most of them, it's less than Direct Labs. Like he said on the call, there may be a few that it's not because of whatever it is. But for the most part, yeah. And you can sign up with him if you do the within 48 hours, if you do his package, he'll actually set you up with your own affiliate page where people can order their tests directly and they'll come there and you'll give them the link and they go and it says, Eleanor, health coach. And you have a little bio on it and then they can order the stuff straight from you.
Okay, so he said a couple of things which I didn't want to bring up yesterday, but I want to kind of get your feedback on today. One was he said that he has noticed that people that have this high sex hormone binding globulin many times are healthier, live longer, or something. He said something like that.
In combination with low insulin.
Okay, in combination.
Right. He said it's a double-edged sword. The high sex hormone binding globulin can be problematic, but he's found that in the healthiest of people where their insulin levels are below 3, fasting insulin, and the sex hormone binding globulins are high, that they're actually in the healthiest populations.
Okay. So I don't know. And the reason why I'm asking is because I'm working with someone on osteoporosis, and one of the things that's showing up is my sex hormone binding globulin is high, and they're concerned that it's keeping my free testosterone down, which is what may be leading to my osteoporosis. So that makes sense what they're looking at.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure because he made it sound like it was so wonderful that I had this thing and I missed.
No. He actually did say that. He said that it's a double-edged sword, that it can be, but it's usually when a person's super healthy and they have really low insulin. I need to look that up because I want to make sure I understand that mechanism. And I know he has all that in his training. He talks about all that in his training.
Okay, good. And I don't have my insulin level, so I don't know that. The other thing he said, which, you know, he said it's very hard to get your vitamin D over 100. And I actually got mine up to 130.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was a little concerned that, you know, because that's why a lot of people retest after a month. When they
Yeah. He may be not supplementing in the doses that we are, because I recommend high dose supplementation. Get it up quickly, but retest within a month to 6 weeks. And he may be a little bit more conservative about that. So these are good questions. And when I chat with him, vitamin D, Alan questions, and SVHG, S-H-B-G. I broke down the acronym wrong. Yeah. Okay. So
he was saying that the vitamin D being high is not problematic, but I just read this whole case study about this young girl who, and actually she lost 2 years of bone growth because her vitamin D was so high.
No, I don't think he said, I think maybe that was out of context. Okay. I don't think he said high vitamin D, but because he said no higher than 100, but he said if it's at around 100, it's not a problem. Then a lot of docs will say, oh no, you don't want to have vitamin D at 100, but up to 100, there's no problem.
Okay.
But if it goes higher than that consistently, yeah, I freaked out when somebody came in and said they had been on 20,000 for a year and a half and hadn't retested at 6 weeks when I told them to, it just disappeared. And I freaked like, Oh, what's happened to his skeleton and all this? And it had only gone up to 60. So that's what Alan was talking about. Like, I think with the conservative approaches to vitamin D and with, a lot of the stuff, the absorption stuff and the SNPs, that it is really hard for people to get up that high. It's not a huge number of people that do, but there are people, of course, that do. If your liver's working great, your kidneys are working great, you know, you're doing all the right things to do this, you can easily go up there. And I had somebody on the same dose as this guy in 6 weeks, ours went up to 100.
Yeah. Okay, good. So I just wanted to make sure, because someone else, a doctor, told me 130 is not good. We need to back.
No. You don't want it above 100, right around. A lot of studies show that between 80 and 100, when you look at, and of course, correlation and incidence is not necessarily causation, but when you look at the population that keep it between 80 and 100, the incidence of breast cancer, prostate cancer, colon cancer they're plummeted. So for cancer protection alone, that up in that higher range is good, and also for autoimmune.
Okay, good. Changing the subject a little bit, I don't know if you've heard about this new prescription omega-3 that came out. It's VASCEPA. Mm-hmm. It's a new prescription omega-3 that's supposed to be pure EPA. And the reason why I'm asking you is because when I looked it up, it's saying that DHA can, it doesn't say does, it says can increase your LDL. So I'm working with people to decrease their LDL. I just want to make sure, putting them on omega-3, that if the fact that it's a combination EPA and DHA, I'm not saying.
I haven't seen any studies that say DHA increases.
LDL, yeah.
Because he's putting people, he was talking about how, you know, in some cases he's rare, but some cases he has people on up to 8,000 right. omega-3 a day when they have these problems. And you don't also know if they're not doing an advanced lipid panel, if it's the large buoyant or the dense LDLs, which would make a difference. And it could be that the DHA increases the buoyant one. Which could overall, but if you have a study, if you have a link that you can send me, I'd so appreciate that.
No, it was within the advertisement for this new prescription.
Okay, that says a lot. I'm trying to sell my purified EPA, so I'm going to badmouth DHA. I mean, advertising is, yeah. If they didn't provide a link or a backup, I would take it as what it is, as advertising. Okay.
And now that you brought up the point of what you just said, I was confused when he was talking, because I had someone's advanced lipid panel in front of me, and I was following it as he spoke to it. And he talks about the HDL, the right type of HDL, but there's only one HDL large. I got confused on that point, because I could easily see on the advanced lipid panel where it said LDL small, and that's what you don't want a lot of. But he's saying you want more of this HDL, but I couldn't quite follow which HDL he was talking about.
Well, on the report he had, and I'm kind of envisioning it in my mind, I saw it was down in the lower part of the page. Up at the top just said the totals. In the bottom part, it had the LDL, and then it had the HDL. And at first I was like, but the number, you know, the FAR number was the low. The risk factor was having it low. And it was, I think on that report, it was right below and it said LDL, HDL large.
HDL large, yeah, because that's all it says. Okay.
Yeah. And then the total would be at the top. So you can do the math and subtract them out and know what this
is. Oh, okay. Okay. So you have to do the math. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm changing subjects again. I just have a bunch of questions that I'm going through different things with different
people. These are great questions, right? I mean, people are getting good at it. Yeah.
Okay, good, good. I'm glad to hear that. I am researching for someone what supplements not to take if you have cancer. And so far I've come up with iron and folate that they really can stimulate cancer cells. Any thoughts or...
Well, certainly iron and anything inflammatory, any immune system problem for sure. Are you asking me anything else that...
Just first of all, do you agree with those two that I've come across so far? And if there's anything else I'm missing?
Well, for sure, folic acid. Folic acid, right? Because synthetic folic acid is going to bind those folate receptors.
Right.
So for sure, folic acid. So differentiate whether it said folate or folic acid. That's a huge piece. Folate. I'm trying to think mechanism wise. Why would that? And
it really helps the, you know, I think part of the cancer is the mitochondria is not working. So you're not producing ADP the normal way. And folate is part of that process. I don't know how it would help a cancer. So
I don't know. You know who you might check out is Veronique, the breast cancer conqueror. She's done a lot of research on that from her own journey. And I don't know if she mentions that. Veronique DeSalvi, or look up the breast cancer conqueror. She just interviewed me. She's right on my mind because she just interviewed me for her podcast. And I think it's The Wellness Warrior is her podcast name.
Oh, wow.
And she may have some ideas on that. And just look her up on Facebook and post a thing to her page on Facebook.
Okay. I will.
If she has any others. She's coming out with a new book. Her original book was, probably quite a few years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. It's called The Breast Cancer Conqueror. Great book. Really, she has the 7 pillars. You know, it's kind of like my pillars, but slightly different, you know, but her 7 essentials for preventing and reversing cancer. And she talks about her own journey. And, she's come a long way. So I would say she might be a good resource person to ask about that.
Okay. I will look her up. And I did not have this question on my list, but you just reminded me of it. I'm trying to find somebody's blood work really quickly. Why on the blood work, if we don't want folic acid, isn't that what it says on the blood work that it's measuring folic acid? It doesn't say it's measuring folate.
No, it's measuring folic acid. And that was my question. I didn't want to ask him in front of other people because I didn't want to really have a disagreement, you know, but yeah. In terms of the B12 and folate, because folate they'll test analogs as well. They're not going to test activated folate. It's testing everything, right? So I ask people questions. Well, when was the last time you had folic acid, synthetic? Do you have any vitamins or minerals or protein powders or any other supplements that might have folic acid? Cause that would give you a skewed result. So I'm going to talk to him about, cause I had it on my mind to talk to him about the B12. Like I said, I was debating, should I ask him? Because I personally think serum B12 is kind of useless. That's
right. That it's measuring folic acid is confusing.
Yeah. But it's actually measuring folic acid, any kind of folic acid in there. It does the test as far as I understand, and years ago when I researched it, that's what it does. It doesn't actually measure the true folate. So, I'm just going to ask him about that and what his thoughts on it and just kind of gather more information. Cause the folate is a little bit more useful than the B12. Cause what I find is a lot of times I see high B12, but high MCV and high homocysteine as well, which would suggest a B12 deficiency. So we see functional measures of low B12 with serum levels of high, and the serum level, and the other thing he had on there was zinc and selenium. And I can go back to my own module and research but I don't think that zinc and selenium are actually accurate in the serum. And I think that like A, D, E, they're all accurate in the serum, right? Iron, some of them are, but most of them, the majority of that is stored elsewhere. Like he did RBC magnesium. Serum magnesium's dumb. A lot of people run it. It's not very useful. But a red blood cell magnesium is. So when you run a test kind of like NutriEval, they're running the tests in the best compartments that have been found, whether it's in the white blood cell, in the red blood cell, or a functional measure. I'm a big fan of functional measures because I really don't care how much you have sitting in your bloodstream. I want to know how well it's functioning. And if your homocysteine is high and your MCV is high, those aren't specific for B12. Those could be folate as well, or could be B6. So if you're really confused, you run a methylmalonic acid, and then you can go, oh, well, we have a high MCV and a high homocysteine, but we have a low methylmalonic acid, which is good. Then it must be folate or something else that's causing those things. Right?
Yeah, so I'm laughing because really this is Lynn and I were talking about this the other day. I know you taught me what, when the MMR is a certain thing, what it means, and I couldn't find it anywhere in my notes. So when it's low but homocysteine is high, it means it's folate when it's...
Probably. I mean, it could be other things. There's other things that can go into it. But that would be... MMA is considered the gold standard for B12. And similar to how homocysteine will elevate if we're deficient in B12, folate, or B6, MMA will elevate if we're deficient in B12, because you look at the pathway, the only way we can convert downstream from MMA is with B12. So it's like the way when we look functionally, we're looking at very different from what's in the serum. So maybe there's plenty of B12 in the serum, but it ain't getting in the tissues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Good, good. No, that was a whole point of confusion. I'm glad you went over that. But I did hear you shouldn't use the blood work for magnesium. Did you say that?
He's doing RBC magnesium.
Okay, but normal blood work, if you show
just serum blood, magnesium, I don't think it's useful.
You don't think serum magnesium is useful? Okay, great. I have been using that to supplement people with magnesium.
Mm-hmm. Red blood cell magnesium. And yeah, I'm pretty sure Quest must do it because he's doing it.
Okay. And then if this is a bad topic to, you know, we could take it offline, but I know that you had Thomas Lodi on at one time and the whole Oasis of Health. And I've also come across another place called the Nevada Center for Alternative and Anti-Aging Medicine. There's Dr. Sheldenberger. I mean, what are your thoughts, first of all, about the Oasis of Health? Have you heard good things? Would you recommend that as an alternative for people?
The doctor, the Lodi, is that what his is called?
Oasis of Health. Yeah, Dr.
Well, I really like him. I've met him personally. I've interviewed him. I like his attitude, and I like his approach. I do know people who have been there and had good results. I don't know of all the, you know, I haven't researched or know personally all the cancer things. Some of them, I'll just tell you, I don't remember what the name of this was, but it was one in Mexico. Someone I knew went there, and they did a lot of interventions for cancer, a lot of, you know, IVs and this and that and the other thing. They were feeding her garbage food. She wouldn't even want to eat the food. They were feeding meat and showed them she didn't want meat. And then they fed her rice and beans. She didn't want rice and beans either. She wanted vegetables. She wanted juices. She wanted high nutrient dense antioxidant rich foods. And that's what they were serving there. So you just have to really, I think, research each one for each person and come up with, you know, one person might do really well at a certain place and another person may not do as well, even just because of the emotional attitude there. Like, so I think that when the reason I like Lodi is because he looks at the emotional thing. He first sits down. The first thing you got to change to get rid of cancer is your attitude. You know, you've got to have that love and appreciation and do the work that you're doing, knowing that you're accessing your inner healer. And I think that's a really important piece. And then he does the juicing and he does the IVs and selenium and vitamin C. And he has very specific ways. You can't do them on the same day because they'll interfere with each other. And I like his stuff. You know, if I were to refer a friend or family member, I'd probably refer him there.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. It's just hard because the main therapy that they use, IPT, this insulin
Well, that's not the main therapy they use. That's what they use when it's bad enough that the other stuff isn't going to work. Okay, so IPT, yeah. Unless they've changed their song, their thing was, their main thing is the emotional stuff, the juicing, the food, and then the IVs, the nutrient IVs, and sometimes ozone. And then the IPT was more the last resort, depending on how far gone the person was.
Yeah, I guess for this person, they're talking about once a week IPT. And you know, and I've talked to regular doctors about it, and it's not a standard care that has any research behind it. So it's hard. It's hard to, you know.
It has research behind it. And, okay, here's the thing. IPT, for those of you who don't know, is insulin-potentiated chemo, IPC, chemotherapy. And what they do, because cancer cells have way more, probably 10 times more insulin receptors than any other cell, what they do is in order to target the tissue, the cancer cells, and spare the rest of the body, which chemo doesn't do, they will give a dose of insulin, and then they give the chemo. They give about 10% the normal dose of chemo, and they give it after insulin. So 90% of what they give goes to that, those cancer. So it's 10% of the normal dose, and 90% of that goes to the cancer, right? So there's not a lot of side damage. And a lot of people who die from, you know, from cancer don't die from cancer. They die from the chemo, right? The destruction that the chemo does to the rest of the, or the radiation, right? So there are cases where if somebody has a tumor that's, I mean, it's far enough gone and it's metastasized and it hasn't, it's not destroyed. It's destroying a lot of the body. You don't, the other stuff may take too long, right? The conservative, really conservative, may take too long to get rid of it and they'll be dead. So that, you know, the practitioner needs to make that decision with the person, of course, to say, look, I think that this insulin potentiated chemo, and if you look at it, they don't get the hair loss. And there are studies on it. It's just, there's no drug company that's going to fund a study. Why would they fund a study that's going to use 1/100th of the normal chemo dose? There's no money in it. And the doctors are scared to bloody death because they don't want to get sued for doing the wrong therapy. But he's been doing it for a long time. And when I was looking into it for my brother-in-law who didn't do it, did the regular course and died, I was looking at it going, well, you know, they sent me a bunch of studies. There are studies. And that was 7 years ago. So, you know, look at the studies. There are, but the regular doctors are not going to advise. What do they say about eating good food? What do they say about avoiding sugar? That has nothing to do with cancer. Avoiding sugar? What does that have to do with cancer? Right? So I don't really take a whole lot of stock in their opinions.
Right. But they're not going to be the ones. You said a little bit earlier that they're to talk to the doctor and get their thoughts, but they're not going to be the ones that are going to recommend that.
No. I mean, talk to the doctor that's doing the therapy.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I talk to Lode and say, look, you said I should do this IPT. What about if I do the rest of your therapy without the IPC? Will that work for me? And he may say, well, in my cases I've seen when the tumor has progressed this far, it's better to do this.
Good.
I talk to the doctor, not to the conventional doctor.
Right. They're not going to, right. No, I'm glad I clarified that. Yeah. So it's just hard. This all making, suggestions, recommendations are hard because you can,
yeah, you know, I, you, know you can't do that, time. Right? You got to just give them resources so they can make their own. I mean, especially right. with cancer.
Right.
Right? Especially with cancer. But there's a lot out there. There's a lot of people. The thing about it that this all brings home is let's teach people to get their blood sugar balanced. Let's teach people to get their gut working and their microbiome strong so they don't have to make these hard
right.
decisions.
Of course, yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's why what we do is so important.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, good. No, thank you. You're welcome. I've run out of questions.
All right. Way to go. So resources that have been put in, Michelle Gamble said, also look at Chris Wark. He has an amazing, his book, he just sent me that book and I don't know why, it just came in the mail. Somebody sent me
his book. He's trying to get his thing going. He was, he actually took Western. He took Western medicine, got all the surgery, and then, you know, he had two lymph nodes that were impacted, and they told him he should do chemo. He had a 60% chance of no reoccurrence if he did nothing. But they said to, you know, we'll add a 12% more chance if you do chemo, and he decided not to do chemo.
Right. So all he did was the surgery. And in some cases, I mean, you're going to remove the bloody thing, right? Yeah. You're going to leave that. Sometimes you don't have to, but sometimes you do. Like Venus, Lynn just put up Venus's, and I think with Veronique, they did not do surgery to remove the tumor, because when you go in and try to remove the tumor, especially in breast tissue, because it's so close with the lymph, you run the risk of the cells breaking off and getting into the bloodstream and spreading it. It's a little different in the gut, which is what he had, to have it removed, because guess what? The gut is actually outside the body. You know, that whole thing is, it's actually a tube that's outside the body. It's not as likely to spread. And they actually, in those cases, they usually don't cut the tumor. They cut the section. You know, so is surgery necessary? Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. If Chris went back knowing what he knows now, would he have done that again? And next time I see Chris, I'm going to ask him that question, because I think that would be a good question. Knowing what you know now, would you have done the surgery, or would you just jumped right in to this natural and nutritional approach? Mm-hmm. Right. And so many factors play into it. The emotional is so huge in cancer, so huge. Right. And really healing those wounds is so important. Thank you. Good questions, Eleanor.
You're welcome.
And Lynn put up a bunch of questions. And Michelle asked, how does this program, Dr. Hopkins, compare to Dr. Weatherby's new certification program? I didn't know Dr. Weatherby had an, I'm going to look into it. I know that he was, Alan was working on a blood chem software program that he felt was going to be better than Weatherby's. So he said there were some things in Weatherby's that he wasn't crazy about, and he was working on one, but I don't know if that's like 2 or 3 years down the road. But I'll ask him, and I'll look into it. I'll look into Weatherby's new certification program. I didn't know he had one. Everybody's coming out with certification.
It's starting in October.
Is this? Yeah. How long is it? Don't know.
No, it just has a little like a landing page that says it's coming October 28th.
Okay. So they're not even allowing for.
Well, you can put your name on the notification list. I'll put that.
Right. But it doesn't have a sales page to say what it is in the module. So I guess that's a good question, Michelle, but nobody knows except for them. And yeah, there's no information out
about
it.
Yeah, so what this says, it's he's hard at work developing a brand new certification program in functional blood chemistry analysis. It isn't just the usual training, but a mastery course in all aspects of functional blood chemistry analysis, complete with testing and certification.
Cool. Now, and then how does that compare to Datis Garazian's, and how does it compare to ours? I don't know how Alan's compares to what I've already given you, except that I know he goes probably deeper on the cardiovascular ones, and there were a few things in there, and he has a different style. So it doesn't hurt to have multiple courses, right? So I don't know how his compares to what we already have. We have like, I don't know, we have at least 12 hours worth of blood chem.
Yeah.
Software blood chem analysis in our program. So I don't know how it compares, but
I signed up for the list. So
you signed up for the list. Okay, good. We'll find out. Yeah, cool. Okay. Optimal. Is that what it is? Optimal. He changed the format of the report too. How is it? I took his other course. Who knows? Yeah. You mean Weatherby? Obviously, I guess we don't know because he's not saying, but he's saying it's new. So it's always, you know, we learn, right? We learn the more we have experience and the more we study and the more I like to look at metabolic pathways to learn. You know, how did we learn about iron and the connection with melatonin? You know, the iron ferritin disparity. It was like by looking at biochemical pathways. Nobody was talking about that. So yeah, it'd be cool. I like his book. The function, the Weatherby book, but we can always learn. yeah, so any other questions? Oh, yeah, we have hands up. So, Eleanor, we got.
I do want to say something because I've had a few people reach out to me to say what I think. Honestly, I would take it if I had the time and money at this point. One of the things that he offers that I don't think anybody else is offering is that affiliate piece. So it's not just, it's truly something that's going to, you're not just buying a program. You get to replenish your coffers. It's a true investment because you'll get a return on it. So for me, that was a really big piece.
And also all those labs that are included. So you're paying about what you'd pay normally for a training, like, you know, any kind of practitioner training, $1,200 is about what you'd pay. And you're getting all the blood stuff and you get to actually walk through it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I've been on his, I don't know if you joined.
Dr. Weatherby also gives you that option because you can become an affiliate with Ulta Lab. And then when you become an affiliate with Ulta Lab, not only do you get a commission, but you can also design it so the results go directly into the blood chem software. You don't even have to transmit it. So there's also that wonderful advantage, which is neat.
That's really cool. Yeah, I didn't know about that. I know he was working on that. When I joined his blood chem software when he first came out with it. Like I was on his first webinar and I went in and, you know, I was one of the first whatevers to get whatever. And I got, you know, lifetime set on my price with unlimited labs, right? So whatever he offers from here on in, I've got that. So, but he was talking then about this because I had asked about that. I said, oh, can we somehow transfer these in? So I'm working with some of the labs to do that. Would be nice if he got that with Quest because most of us use Quest or
LabCorp. It is Quest. Ulta Lab uses Quest and LabCorp.
Oh, okay. So it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look into what Ulta Lab is. Now, some of them, like there was an lab, and I don't know if it's Ulta or something. There was another chemistry thing. I think it was through Dutchies Brazian where they were using one. But to get an account with that lab, you had to be a licensed practitioner, and you can only order it for people in your state where you're licensed. And so I said, well, that ain't going to work because all my people are all over the world or all over the country anyway. So I don't know if that's Ulta. I'll look into it.
Yeah, and with Karazian is very, very picky about who's able to use his software. And, you know, so that's the other challenge for many people in our group. You wouldn't be able to get into Karazian's software piece.
You know, interesting. I tried to go to one of Karazian's, he was having an event in Austin and I couldn't make it. And I said, oh, can I buy they said, the videos, they wouldn't sell it to me. Because I ran practitioner programs of my own. They just downright said, I won't sell it. We won't sell it to you. You can't come to our sessions anymore.
Oh, wow.
Like what?
I know they stopped selling the video recordings and all of that. They used to do that years and years ago. And recently they stopped selling any of them. You would have to get like specific links for a video and then you only have access to it for a couple of hours and then it's gone.
Wow. They're a little bit scared, aren't they? Okay. Kim, who is next? Janine. I think I, no? There we go.
Okay, I wasn't ready. So how's everybody? So my mom's in the nursing home now.
Okay.
She survived her body crashing. Wow. And I just had a meeting with the nursing home yesterday. So I guess it was defined as MRSA in her big toe.
Oh, geez.
And I'll double check that later. But, where am I at here? Her EGR is back up to 48 from 16. So I was like, wow, she's better than she was a few weeks ago. Wow. And her creatine is back up to normal and it's not high. And I guess the bun was okay. The thing where I'm going with these people, cause they're not understanding her pain that she's having, cause it's gout in the knee. in different areas in her body. And I'm explaining, and my thoughts are correct. Is it from the medication or everything? Those are like oxalates because her genetics and her liver, everything, she can't break down all this stuff.
Well, it's uric acid crystals is gout.
Right. Yeah, and, well, they're saying it's her gout. And I told them, well, I talked to one of the nurses. So they started her on 200 billion lactobacillus, one in the morning, 100 billion in the morning, one at night. And then I'm going to add, Espilardi to it. Mm-hmm. I got that from Seeking Health.
What about bifidus?
I'm going to get that. I'm going to get a new bottle. I think just from Renew, just pick something up. And, but one of the questions I had was they have her on Vytorin, and I didn't know that. And they said that that's for blood sugar.
Vytorin?
Do you know what Vytorin is? It's a prescription.
No.
So I'm like, why is she on that? I didn't even know about it. Like my mom has all this medication.
She's on insulin though, right? Yeah, she's on insulin.
I don't know if you saw my post. Her A1C is to 6.5. All the doctors and nurses were like, how did you do that? So what I do for 6 days, I taught insulin resistance. And then now in the nursing home, they want to bring her a diet drink shake. I flipped it over. I took a picture of it. And I said, she can't have this. It has aspartame in it. And it has maltodextrin and whatever else and all this stuff. They're like, well, we got nothing else. I said, no problem. I'll go get her protein shakes, whatever she needs if she's not eating, because she wouldn't eat the first few days.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've been doing. It's fruit smoothies and stuff, but you know what? It's better than a darn bagel or anything else. At least it has nutrition. It's organic and,
right.
You know, I just want to make sure I was going the right way with her.
Well, she's, first of all, I'm going to say your mother is a survivor. Your mother is like,
do you know her kidney cancer?
She's been on the verge of death that she's come back from it.
Yeah. Her EGR was down to 16. And I'm like, how low do they let it go before dialysis? And they're like, well, it's not just that. It's the whole body. So her congestive heart failure was acute again. And what the heart is doing, it's pumping, but it's not relaxing. So that would be worried about heart attack, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't know, between the doctors and the kidney specialists and with me, you know, letting them know about her, and I watched which antibiotics they were trying to give her. I think I messaged you, and she's on the last day of that one antibiotic. Her kidney specialist came in over the weekend before we sent a nursing home, and he told me I can go ahead, start giving her vitamins, start pumping her full of the probiotics, just
great.
Do what you're doing before, Janine. And
that's great. You got that support.
Yeah, and we see him today because I want to go over. I'm going to get a copy of what meds she's on because they put her on Dan Protonics. And he has her – it is a prescription, but it's something fairly safe that she can take instead of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure that gets on there.
Well, in a hospital, here's the situation. And you gotta relate to this, is they've got this person. This person looks like they're on death's door. And they're just going to pump them up with everything they know how to do. Part of it is to protect their license, to make sure that they have on record that they did everything they could. Because they're more likely to get sued, obviously not in your case, but that's what their fear is. They're more likely to get sued for malpractice for not intervening and not giving a medication than from giving a medication that causes a person to go into cardiac arrest and die because they followed protocol, right? Mm-hmm. So the decisions are made not so much to protect the patient, but to protect their licenses, right? And so pumping her up, right? And now when she's out of the acute crisis care, you work with whatever doctors are most amenable to it. If this guy says, hey, to have her take this instead of that because it's safer, great. Now you've got his blessing. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But you can't do this on your own because you're not a pharmacist. You're not you're not versed as much in the pharmacology, but you can look things up and see what they're going to interfere with. and then say, okay, this medication is going to muck with vitamin C and zinc and B12. Therefore, I've got to bump up those nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we work with the system, because we can't, because we don't know enough. I mean, there's times when I don't want people on medication, but on the other hand, if I don't know what else there is, because it's some weird, rare situation, I don't want to cause the person to die or get sick because I said, oh, don't do that medication, do this vitamin C instead, right? I know certain conditions where I would say that. But in a lot of cases, like something like this is so complex with kidney failure, close to it, congestive heart failure, gout. I mean, she's got so much going on, diabetes. I mean,
Well, I stood there by them and I spoke to every doctor. I questioned every bag they were bringing in. And I let the kidney specialist know, because he was talking about diuretics. And what they did, they gave her too much fluid the first day. And then, so they overloaded her kidney with fluid. So then the diuretics came in, which crashed her kidneys. And so I jumped in and then I got the heart doctor and I called her kidney specialist every day till I got her specialist there or somebody from the team. And, they gave her a little bit of albumin, but luckily I stood there. I said, she can't, what antibiotics? She cannot process antibiotics. You're going to mess her up. And, you know, I was very fortunate that they listened to me, and she wasn't in pain until she got to the nursing home. So, you know, I'm dealing with them with like, this is not pain. This is pain from oxalates in her body. She's got little crystals floating around from all this medication.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. I was very, very, very lucky. And
also she's very lucky that she had you in that situation. And when I say she's a survivor, I don't know how much that is you being there step by step as her advocate and preventing a lot of the medical malpractice that happens to most people and keeping her alive. So, you know, just stop for a moment right now. Stop for a moment and just sit with that, because not everybody could do that. Not everybody has a daughter who knows enough and is willing to research enough and to be forceful with those doctors.
Yeah.
And you've earned their respect. You don't know why they listened to you. It was because you earned their respect. Something in your demeanor, in the way you spoke to them and what you told them, you earned their respect.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they were showing me labs I didn't see before. And the specialist, he's like, have you ever seen this? And it's the procalactin. I can't spell it or say it right. It's a PCT or PTC. It's overall body. It's for septus, because she had full body septus.
Okay.
And so it's for inflammation and infection. And hers was sky high. He goes, have you seen this? I'm like, no. And he told me that's what it's for. She's totally septic. This is what we're dealing with.
Right. And it was at that point, you have to get somebody as IV antibiotics, hopefully, right? To get them to save their lives, right? There's life-saving measures and then there's maintenance measures.
Yeah, but they're very careful now, because the certain antibiotics, and they know, will shut down the body too.
Yeah.
So I made sure that this antibiotic wasn't going to damage her kidneys also. And then the Lasix or whatever diuretics they were pumping her, I said, you go slow. You know, you're going to crash her, her blood pressure will drop. You know, it was very, very stressful, but we made it through. God knows how.
Big part of it is because of you. So I just want you to think that. I just want you to take credit.
And everybody here, everybody in the community, I know I really thought I was going to lose her. And I posted that because it's like, oh my God, I could actually for the first time feel my memory cells. It's like, what do you do when you actually feel you're going to lose your mother? Because what do I do? I didn't know what to do. I couldn't think. And we have all our tools. Tools weren't working. I mean, I did breathe and stuff, but is there something I can do, or do I just have to sit with this, you know, and deal with it? But I want to thank everybody for your help and my nonsense, whatever I posted, because it was just like, you have to reach out somewhere.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the best tool, was going back to my community and am I doing okay? Mm-hmm. Checking in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I appreciate that.
Good for you.
Okay, so just stay on the probiotics, get her back on vitamins, and she's actually doing really good. She wants me to come and put a little makeup on her for her appointment.
Wow.
Oh, things have really changed. You wouldn't believe what's going on. Oh, one more thing. What is the BNP, the brain neuropeptide? Hers is at 142. They keep saying that's for lungs. I thought brain neuropeptide, I thought that had to do with the heart.
Let me look that one up. Brain neuropeptide. I'm going to ring a bell here. You're not talking the brain neurotrophic factor, right? Brain neuro.
Yeah, I think that's one.
It's brain natriuretic peptide.
Oh, yeah, the natriuretic peptides.
There's only one B and P, right, Lynn?
Yeah, it's secreted by the heart.
Well, it's a protein, yeah, by your heart and blood vessels.
And in response to the blood, so it'll affect the kidneys. So it has to do with the vascular and the blood pressure.
Yeah, they kept saying lungs because they're worried about clots in the lungs because she did develop fluid.
Oh, well, she could, right? Because if the vasculature gets too thick, right?
Okay.
If the pressure gets too high, sure, she could throw clots.
Oh, okay.
That might be what they were referring
to. It's also a prognosis. It can tell you what that kind of prognostic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's, well, the cutoff is 140 for them, or 130, I can't remember right now. She's a little bit high above what the high normal is in their field, so I don't know what the natural path levels are, but okay. That's the only thing that's really out of place, and then they gave her IV potassium and magnesium because those had dropped. Well, everything was bad.
Right.
But those are all going back up to normal.
She was aggravated in her CSF, CHF, congestive heart failure. That will give an indication.
On the BNP?
Whether it's worsening. So if it's coming down, then it's getting better.
Yeah, I don't have those labs. Some of the doctors, they turned their back so I could take a photo shoot of the labs. That's how I knew what was going on.
Good.
So, yeah, it was pretty
good. Sounds like you have a team that you can work with at least.
Well, that was at the hospital. Now I'm dealing with the nursing.
Those are always hard.
The skilled nursing doctor, and she knows her, and I've explained stuff. Like, even at the hospital, I saw diet soda on her tray, and I'm like, no. I go, you see this? She's kidney. No kidney patient should be drinking diet soda. Nobody should be drinking diet soda. This is rat poison.
Yeah.
And I had I brought monk fruit packets that my mom had bought. So even yesterday at the meeting, I gave it all to the nutritionist there. This is what you need to be serving your senior citizens or seniors here. You're giving them rat poison. And they're just looking at me.
Some sparkling water, put a little bit of that in there, put a little vanilla or some kind of lemon or some kind of flavor, and now they have it.
Yeah. So my goal from this in the next month or so when I get my brain back, I got that thing from Carmen Hunter because I thought about it. These seniors go to these appointments and they don't have the guidance with their doctors. You know, they're just stepped on and they just take all these drugs, and her podiatrist ended up putting her in this life-threatening situation. And so I think I'm going to do a program and work up to help with them, you know, to how to go to doctor visits.
I think that I was thinking about this when we started this, that patient advocacy, a great niche for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have that, and then I'll be working on that, you know, in the next month or so. To start there. So not just seniors, I mean everybody.
No,
but
everybody.
I think
it's advocacy. It's that advocacy that they go in the hospital and they're at the hands and they don't have anybody to advocate for them. The outcomes are not great.
Yeah. And also, I mean, just going to their doctors.
Yeah.
My mom was passed along about this toe. And I'm like, Mom, and this stupid caregiver, excuse me, that I have, she's going to be fired. And I'm full charge now. I'm going to all her appointments and until we get her in assisted living. So, and even then I'll be going with her, but anyways, thank you everybody. Thank you.
I did have a really quick question for you. You were saying that she was the Vytorin, which is, that's for your cholesterol and triglycerides. And so,
oh, that's what it's for?
Yeah. Vytorin. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have that here on my notes. I was going to say something because her cholesterol is protecting her damn brain.
Well, one of the things they say to watch out for though with that is if you have high blood sugar, you need to be careful and watch it.
What do you mean? Oh, you mean for the cholesterol?
Yeah. No, with your, so the effect that it has on your cholesterol and triglycerides is going to affect the blood sugar. So you really need to be very careful in watching that.
Oh, on that medication.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying? One of the side effects of that medication is impact on the blood pressure. Blood sugar and the cholesterol.
Yeah.
Okay. So it drops it? I'm a little confused here.
Well, it can drop it too quickly.
Oh, okay.
She's also on insulin.
Yeah.
She's going to have to watch her insulin levels. She needs a continuous glucose patch.
No, she's on a pump.
And it's continuously metering and then...
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, she's been off of it. I had to take her off of it. Okay. It was malfunctioning.
No, that's fine. Because if she's on a blood pressure lowering medication, then it'll lower the amount of insulin that she's getting. Is that right?
It should regulate it.
I don't know. This is from her endocrinologist, I believe, the Vytorin. I don't know, but when I heard it was for blood sugars and stuff,
Look at the different mechanisms and then just, I would ask about it.
Okay.
You know, express your concerns. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Lynn, for looking that up. Okay.
Well, my husband works at a nursing home and sometimes he starts talking about these things. And I remember, it just clicked a bell in my. So anyway.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, Janine. And I'm glad to hear your mother's on the mend. Yeah.
Are we unmuting?
Yeah. So, Michelle, I'm trying to unmute you, but it kept not doing it. So, yeah, you're open.
What was the question? Sorry.
Well, no, you had your hand up.
Oh, that was before when I was asking about the weather beads.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to the other gentleman's.
Got it. Okay, cool. Who else? Anybody else have questions? Or we can.
I do.
Yeah, go for it, Barbara.
I have several. I'll just try to be brief. How is it coming along with your supplement store? Are we where we can order things?
You can order things, totally. Lynn, can you put the link in? They just sent me the mock-ups for cards. I don't know if it's all completely ready the way we want it to be with all the packages yet, but it's definitely, you can order all the individual people, the supplement companies are there. So, yes, you can order.
So anything on that store is something that you consider to be a good quality product?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
No, because they give me the brands. So I pick the brands that some of them I only use one or two brands products from. We will be going back through and making a favorite section that'll say, these are the products that I really like out of these brands. But there's Pure Encapsulations. I don't think there's hardly anything on Pure Encapsulations that I don't like. There's Custom Probiotics. There's Bezwecken's there. There's Biomatrix. So you can get like the DHA and all that's there. So there's a lot of them there, but there are some like Designs for Health. There's like two or three products that I really like from Designs for Health. Some of them I'm not so crazy about. So you can go there and you can order the same way you would order from Amazon or on the internet, but you can order them all in one place with one shipping price. And if it goes over $75, you free shipping. And then there's a coupon. Let me see if I can find that. There's a coupon code that you can use on your first order. Do you have that? Somebody just posted in my teamwork. And let me look in there. And I can give you the code. There's a code for if you're total goes over 250, there's a discount, and then there's a discount if your total, if it's your first order.
And you get free shipping.
And free shipping over 75, right? Oh, and then if you do auto ship, it's something you're going to be ordering on a regular basis, you get a discount too.
Okay, great.
Okay, here's the cards from DSS. I'm opening this up right now. I'll put it on the screen if you want. You can see what these cards are going to look like. Okay, here we go. Okay. Okay, so they're giving me these cards, you know, that we'll hand some of these out at Shine and at my potlucks. Let me go and hit the button. excuse me. Okay, so where's my share screen? There we go. Okay, so let me make this bigger. There. So it's www.d, as in dog, ssorders.com/drreadamarie. When they'll ask you to register, you register RL1511.
And I put that link in the chat.
Great. And then the 10% off on your first order is HCPC1511 welcome. And then the same HCPC1511 over 250. So if it's your first order and you spend over 250, you'll get 20% off. And then auto ship gets 5% off and free shipping. So that's pretty cool. And they have this rewards thing too.
Yeah, you might want to put additional 10% off because it's not clear that it's an additional 10% off.
That's a good question. And I would have to verify that to find out if it's an additional 10% off with that or if you just get one coupon per visit. I don't know.
I think it's just one coupon.
Just one coupon. So the first order would be 10%. And then if you anytime you spend over 250, you get 10%. And then you get over 100. I thought it was 75, but it's over 100. It's really easy to spend over 100 on a supplement order, right? As we all know, right?
Okay, great.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I've been anxious to order some of the, I think it's the Biomatrix ProAdapt and S-Adapt.
Yes. And we'll be putting them in our, let me see if I can actually put this. I don't know if it takes pictures in the chat here. Does it? Does it take pictures? Paste. No. It only takes text. I tried to paste my copy of that in there. So I don't know. So we've been holding off kind of till we got the favorites done, but we don't have to. I took a screenshot. Oh, good. You took a screenshot. Yeah, we will. As soon as we get it set up, what we want to do is get it set up with the favorites. So I would just I just have to spend an hour going through each of the companies and just choosing my favorites. But then you can set up, this is the cool part I really like. You can set up bundles. And the bundles could be things like, let me get out of that. Stop share. The bundles can be things like even one product. So if I had a blood sugar bundle and it had three products in it, or I could have the name of a product, you know, DHEA bundle. And there was only the DHEA, but I can actually put a description in the notes that says how to take it, you know, and what the recommendations are. Like for DHEA, be careful not to do it. If the cortisol is super low, be careful not to do too much DHEA because it'll suppress it. So there's things that we can put in the notes field as we make bundles. So the bundles may be bundles in some case, like three or four products that go together, or it may be stuff like specific things that we want to give recommendations for. And the goal is to eventually any of the products that are in there would be listed as bundles, even the individuals, just so that we can use that dosage requirements and notes thing.
Okay. And another quick question is, what is your recommended liposomal B12?
I like the Seeking Health.
Okay. That's got a higher methylfolate in it than some of the others I've seen.
It does?
I was looking last night trying to figure out a good one, and I noticed it was higher in the methylfolate.
I didn't think it had methyl. Oh. I don't know. I have to look back at it.
There may be multiples. That may just be the one I found.
Yes, multiples, because I have some people just on B12, some people just on folate. He has a couple different things.
He has a couple different ones, yeah.
Okay. Another question. Are you familiar with the possibility of too much zinc causing macular degeneration?
I haven't seen that, but if there's a study on it, send it off.
I kind of got cornered by Louisa, and so I was reading about these lenses to help with my eye issues, and as I was reading all of this, I ran across some mentioning that too much zinc can cause an increase in macular degeneration. I don't remember exactly where I saw that, but I just wanted to ask you about that.
Not something that's on my forefront, so, you know, I'm open to reading about it. And, you know, and what constitutes too much? Is it age, sex, size dependent, or is it just, you know, studies showed that over 90 or whatever, 120? So, and is it within the realm of what we'd have to worry about is what I, you know, like if they do studies on B6, for example, and doses over 500 or more of B6 have been associated with peripheral neuropathy. But how many people do you know that take more than 500 milligrams? It's a lot. It's a huge dose, right? And of course, there's smaller people, and some people are going to be more sensitive, and it may happen at a smaller dose, but that's where, like, that safety line is.
Okay. Another question is, I'm running across I'm kind of new at this, putting the blood tests into BloodChem, but I've been working on it. And I'm running across an MPV, and it was run on Quest, but I didn't see where to put it in on the BloodChem. Am I missing something?
No, they don't have it.
Okay. The other question on them was, I ran the magnesium RBC, but it's looking to me like on BloodChem, it's a serum. Is that true?
Yeah. That's true. They don't have any of the functional tests. I don't know if they're changing that in the future, because they said they were making improvements to it, that those were forthcoming. So, yeah, there's a serum for sure.
Okay. My final question is a subjective one. I saw Alan Hopkins' webinar yesterday, and I'm trying to decide if that makes sense for me to do his masterclass and affiliate program. Mm-hmm. I realize that most likely in order to use the affiliate program, it's going to have to be people who either don't have insurance or
high deductible,
or their doctors aren't going to prescribe or aren't going to get them the tests that we need.
That, and also he addressed that too, also high deductibles.
Okay.
High deductibles. And he's saying that he's been finding in, you know, his practice is that the insurance companies are now like only paying 50%. So, you know, say you have a deductible of $5,000 on your insurance plan and you go to run it, you're going to get charged the full price for that against your deductible, but you have to pay it out of pocket. And so then when the deductibles come in, like say Quest charges $150 for a particular test and he or Direct Labs charges $35, that $150, 50% of that 75, you're still paying way more than if you paid out of pocket.
Right.
So the goal is, and then the insurance is getting worse and worse and worse. So, and it makes sense. I'm going to be going in there and revamping my packages, because all he did was take my packages off that I had on Direct Labs and move them there. And I want to really fine tune my packages to make sure that it's really clear. Like, this is where I'd want somebody who's brand new, hasn't anything done yet. This is what I want them to have. And here's like a follow up for blood sugar imbalance or a follow-up for cardio or whatever.
Okay. So the subjective part is, you know me, and I am dabbling with starting a business. So I'm just wondering, does it make sense for me to put that investment out there?
So, yeah. So my thing for you is, and I mentioned this on the call, and it may have just kind of fluffed over, but I think that a great way to get started if you don't have any packages and you don't have any stuff is that you're doing lab and you're bundling lab with with a consultation.
Right.
And so, or you just say, hey, we're going to do this. You get these lab tests. It's out of pocket, but you know, it's going to be the cheapest place. Go here and then get them to do that. But you can actually bundle like the insulin resistance, whatever consultation package that has the labs related to that, that you could do, and you can be creative about it. So it could be definitely could be useful for you. Especially since you tend to be the left brainy back person that really likes to do that. The other advantage is though, if you haven't had tests done recently on yourself, you, or even if you have, you can use his package as a follow up to do the whole bundle on yourself. So
I would do that. But I did have pretty good coverage on my lab testing. I don't know how frequent I can do it and get that kind of coverage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will do that. But I'm thinking this might be a way for me to have a little more higher level of comfort getting started with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I just wish I had a little more time to kind of figure it out because this is a very short time offer for him.
Well, for the, yeah, it's a 5-day offer for the special, but it's a 48 hour if you want to get your own site with the custom. But you know, come back and pay $200 for that later. So,
yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
If I could just add an experience I had with the labs, I order my labs for the people I work with through Direct Labs and I order it. So I get it and they get it. And so I did it for myself once and it was interesting because I compared the price that I got from my physical that year with the price when I ordered for myself and I paid the same amount through the doctor as I paid going directly through Direct Labs. And I was like, oh, what the, wow. The insurance took that price, which was, let's say, you know, $170 and knocked it down to the same price that I was paying through Direct Labs is what that was my insurance. So you can't say that's a blanket thing. That was just my experience with my insurance. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Sometimes I tell my, you know, people, you know, you can go to your doctor, but you're gonna you might pay the same as if I ordered your
blanket. And you're going to have to fight like tooth and nail to get what you really want. That's the biggest thing. So that's good to know. And, you know, if you
have- I actually had a client.
Yeah.
I just had a client who he went into his doctor and he took my sheet of what he needed to cover. And when he went in, the doctor actually ordered it. But what I didn't realize is that he needed to have put down medically necessary because after he got the labs done, his insurance company sent him this whopper bill for like $800. And when he went back to the insurance company, they said, yeah, it makes sense that you would have to run these labs. And even after he worked with me for 3 months, his A1C went from 8.0 to 5.5 and he had all of his cholesterol panels shift. And he said, well, you know, this shows that I needed these labs. And the insurance company said, yeah, but the doctor did not put down that it was medically necessary. And I didn't know that there was such a distinction. And then when I looked at the lab panel that I had had him run, I said, if he had gotten it done through me, I could have gotten it done for about $250, you know, in comparison to the $800 that he spent. And I felt so horrible. And I was like, go fight them. Go fight them. Get your money back. But he's like, you know what? But I wanted to know, did you have a chance to look at the session with James Maskell about the new health plan? Because one of the things that he talks about within the new health plan is that, number one, they're going to be providing health coaches for 6 months for people who are in the health plan. Plus the testing, he has a chart of like sample test lab markers and how much it would cost, say, if you went through your traditional insurance company, how much it would cost if you paid cash on your own, and then how much it would cost with the new health plan. And, you know, so I was wondering if you had had a chance to look at that or look into
that. No, I haven't. That you're saying he did that during your talk, during your summit?
Yes.
Okay.
And he has a book that's called Saving Money in the Trump Era. It's a free download and it's available on the internet. You just, you know, Google it and it'll come up. And in there, he has a chart with that comparison. actually I'm here in DC to go to the, to one of his tour spots. He's coming to DC on Monday for anybody who's interested. He's going to be in the DC area on Monday and they're having this whole big session from 5 to 10 that he's going to go into details about the different aspects of
that people can purchase in a, instead of Blue Cross Blue Shield or whatever else.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. He said it's specifically designed for people who currently have high deductibles. And it's designed for people who are interested in functional medicine because they are creating a network of functional medicine doctors. And they're also creating a network of health coaches. So participants will be able to get assistance from health coaches plus be part of the community where they do things like cooking together and stuff like that.
Wow. And so
as well as take care of your crisis care if you get knocked down by
that's what I was going to say. It'll still take care of the crisis care because it's the only reason I have insurance is in case of a crisis care.
Yeah, he said it's a cost share cooperative that is similar to what has been done within the Christian arena, but this one is not affiliated with any kind of religious denomination.
Okay. Well, it's worth looking into. James Maskell.
It's called KNEW, KNEW.
Okay, good. Great. Thank you. Any other questions before we call it a day? I think we were already over time. What time did we start? 1 o'clock? Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you. Great conversations today. Great discussions. I hope this was helpful. And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. Thank you. You were quiet, Eva.
Yes, I was listening. Thank you.
Okay, good. Bye.
Bye.